Every summer, a few interns are selected from hundreds of applicants to camp in primitive conditions on a tiny treeless island several miles off the main coast. Their job description calls for a sense of humor and love of adventures, the outdoors, and birds. In this case, Atlantic puffins and other seabirds that require monitoring as part of a decades-long restoration project. Susan Sharon has more.
It takes about 30 minutes by boat to reach Eastern Egg Rock, an exposed 7-acre island with seaweed-covered boulders and windswept grass. This is home to what's known as Project Puffin. Hundreds of screeching gulls and terns circle overhead. The noise, says Sarah Guitart, never stops.
Anytime that I'm like, oh, you know, I wish these birds would just be a little bit quieter, you got to remember that you're in a seabird colony and it's pretty wonderful, so.
Guitart is the crew lead for the four interns and research assistants living and working on the island from May to August. She wears earplugs to get to sleep in her tent at night. Atlantic puffins are the quieter of the residents. They're cute and colorful, with their tuxedo-looking suits of black and white feathers, bright orange beaks, and feet. But by the late 1800s, they'd largely disappeared from their historic nesting grounds in this region, killed off by hunters for food and feathers. More than a century later, the puffins are back.
So this little puffin chick is about 5 weeks old. I can tell that by the lack of down on it.
Dr. Stephen Kress, founder of the National Audubon Society's Project Puffin, examines a chick that's been pulled from a burrow deep between some rocks. In 1973, with permission from the government, he started transporting puffin chicks from a healthy colony in Newfoundland to Eastern Egg Rock. The unusual effort paid off and eventually expanded. There are now 1,300 pairs on five main islands. The puffin chick is weighed and measured.
So I'd say it's very much on target. There seems to be enough small fish.
And while Kress says this puffin population is stable, it's small and vulnerable to disease and to predators like gulls, which the interns occasionally have to shoot. The puffins are also being affected by rapidly warming temperatures in the Gulf of Maine.
So we just kind of throw our bucket in the water and I'm going to drop this in here. And I usually leave the thermometer in for like a minute.
Nadia Swanson takes a sea surface temperature to look for changes that might affect small fish that puffins depend on for survival.
It's like 62 degrees. So this morning it was 60 degrees, so it got a little warmer.
That may seem warm unless you need a shower, and the Gulf of Maine is the only option. Out here, there is no running water. Hats and long sleeves are essential because bird droppings land on everyone and everything.
I brought out my poopier hat. Should I wear a not poopier hat?
Having a sense of humor out here doesn't hurt. But having patience is required. Interns spend hours at a time in blinds, carefully observing birds' nesting and feeding habits.
Things are changing, and we are here potentially documenting that change and trying to figure out, like, what are the questions we need to be asking and how do we get that information out of these, out of the seabirds.
Nadia, actually, does it seem large enough to band?
Yeah.
Yeah? Can I help set her up with that?
The job also involves grubbing for chicks, reaching into deep and narrow burrows and carefully pulling out puffins and other chicks like this feisty black guillemot. The chicks are weighed, measured, and banded. The work days are long, and the pay is low. But Michael Rickershauser, a former auto mechanic from Long Island, doesn't mind. He says he's discovered that this is his passion.
It was sort of a dream come true to come work out here. It's something special. It's more than seeing a picture or reading a book.
Over Project Puffin's 46-year history, more than 500 interns have worked on several main islands protecting and monitoring seabirds as a way to guide future conservation. Dr. Kress says the main lesson he hopes they've learned is that people can be destructive to a species, but with their presence and perseverance, they can also help bring it back. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.